Vamos começar, pessoal. Bem dispostos? Tenho que desemperrar o pessoal. Isto é suposto ser interativo. Aqui estamos a falar sobre um tema, mas quer que seja participativo. Tenho um bom motivo para vocês levantarem o braço e fazerem questões. Tenho aqui alguns stickers que consegui roubar e consegui pôr aqui só para vocês, ok? Por isso, quem fizer perguntas, recebe um sticker, ok? Tenho aqui vários, depois no final também podem vir cá buscar. Anyone speaking English only? No? We can do it in Portuguese, ok? So, in the keynote, we learned halfway through that we needed to speak in English. Mas se não há cá ninguém que não fale português, fazemos em português, de acordo? Pronto, o meu nome é João Almeida, trabalho no DX, Developer Experience, é o que quer dizer. Trabalhamos com, desde startups em empresas grandes. Trabalhamos, obviamente, com o Stack Microsoft, mas também agora com um novo espectro, totalmente novo, muito orientado para a componente open source. Okay? Tudo o que eu vou fazer aqui, e vamos falar de bots, ok? Quem é que já ouviu falar de bots? Levanta o braço. Pronto, ok. Quem é que é do tempo do Mirk? No Mirk já havia um bot. Havia já, na altura, vários bots que faziam operações e às vezes só respondiam de forma estúpida. Para nós, de forma muito automatizada. Não é diferente disso, só que há um pormenor que transformou drasticamente. E os bots é uma tecnologia que nos próximos anos não se sabe bem o impacto que vai ter, mas eu vou atirar algumas ideias do que é que pode acontecer, ok? Ou pelo menos a nossa perspectiva, Microsoft e também do ecossistema todo, da nossa indústria, porque pode dramaticamente alterar a forma como nós trabalhamos e como nos divertimos. Porque na nossa vida pessoal, todos nós começamos a usar telemóveis, hoje faz parte da nossa vida. As aplicações e as stores, e instalarmos uma aplicação por cada serviço, por cada tema, para ler notícias, para ver o nosso voo na TAP, há tudo, ok? Um dos temas importantes e que nós denominamos como CAP, Conversation as a Platform, ok? É onde isto na prática é igual a bots. Isto pode ter um impacto muito grande, porque vocês reparem, daqui a uns anos, o cenário de nós não termos necessidade de ter milhares de aplicações, continuarmos a utilizar as aplicações que são chat-based, que hoje em dia estão no top 5 de todas as aplicações mais utilizadas na área de mobilidade, principalmente, isso vai fazer uma grande diferença. Okay? E o facto de nós termos bots que nós consigamos perguntar de forma agnóstica sobre qualquer tema e ele redirecionar-nos eventualmente para um bot. No, doctor. No, I was asking just, but you were not here, so I will change to English.
No, I'm just
watching. No problem. And it's being recorded, so why not? So, let me. Okay, so we were talking about the impact of bots that may bring to our the way we use the mobile phones mostly, but also how we use the desktop and how we chat with everyone. So being able to talk to a bot, ask something specific, not needing to go and install a specific app. How many times does that happen? I want to do something, I don't have that app. I have to log in, install it, log in, and then start to understand the UI and everything. Why? Eventually, we may go to a very standard bot that can redirect us and to do a specific task, but also we can use natural language, okay? But there are some things, and we have been working on bots now for some time, and there are some things that we've been learning from customers, okay? And this is one part I find most useful on this session. So besides understanding what is a bot, besides doing that automatic task, so we write something and the bot will answer, why not use a natural language that the bot may be able to understand and answer back, okay, and do something. Now, that's the alignment of technology that made the difference between the time that we used to talk with bots on Mirk, okay? Because nowadays, we have the technology and the scale. Scale coming from cloud. We have the artificial intelligence, another buzzword, but now we've reached the time where we can actually invest in bringing something from artificial intelligence that is applicable to our daily lives, okay? And bots is one of the examples. So we can now start just going through the usual conversation using the same applications, the same instant messaging platforms that we are using at least for 3, 4, 5 years, okay? We are talking about Facebook Messenger, WhatsApp, all those applications. We can start using them, but not only to chat with friends and schedule dinners, but we can also do things, okay? That's the main goal. So the impact that may be brought to our way of life can be drastically changed. Let's see how it goes. I think technology will help us to bring that. But remember, bots are not only artificial intelligence. That brought something very interesting. We actually can write things, bots will understand it, and can do something, okay? With artificial intelligence, we can still write it in a common speaking language, and the bot will understand due to artificial intelligence. But there are other ways, because everyone knows, typing forms, who wants to type forms and inputs and labels on a phone? No one writes. To write on the phone, it's hard, okay? But nowadays, you have other ways to show information. And even the possibility to have buttons that can guide you through something very quickly is something that it's interesting, because nowadays, we are traveling, we are between sessions on an event, between work, and we want to do something very quickly. And having buttons and a guided conversation is something that you can do today, okay, with bots. And that changes a little bit the way when compared with bots on Mirk, for example. It changes the way we use them and we can interact. So this will become easier and easier for us to adopt. So no text only, we can use even show information. You can see here for someone that is looking for a hotel, usually what we usually do is go to the web, find something, go through a website with tons of hotels, and then choose something based on information that we look for. There are some use cases that we'll still want to go to the website, okay? So. But instead of going to the website, search for things and everything, the bots can take us directly to the information that we want to read, okay? And come back to the bot to finish a specific use case. And those are the scenarios that are most interesting, okay? So, and this is just a little intro on what we can do with bots. And so let's dive into technology. So today here, there are some platforms where you can write bots. I will take bot framework from Microsoft. And actually, why is this relevant? I like a lot of this approach. So basically what we did was create a bot connector. Okay, it's all done, it's run on Microsoft, and we have an SDK to create bots. Okay, so here, what you see on this diagram, this is an architecture, very easy. So we would write our bot code, okay? In our bot code, there's a specific API we must comply to. We would use all the APIs, and we can also integrate with APIs that we have from our business, with our information. We can use other services that are available worldwide in any cloud, any platform, so it's not necessary on Azure, so you can interact with any API. And then there is the message, the bot connector. So here in the middle, it's some parts that will basically allow you to have use this API, this SDK, that will connect to the bot connector. And this gentleman is responsible for some hard work that we would have to write for any bot. So remember, for any bot, you have several users. You will have several sessions. So for me, I could open two windows with the same bot, okay, and have completely different conversations. So those are dialogues or conversations, okay? So one of the things that this bot connector actually does, he persists and maintains all this logic. So we don't need to be worried about that. And besides that, we can actually take advantage of a lot of technology that is already available on the cloud to actually make the bot connector work even better. So for here, we have entities that are, we even have translation to help out, and this will become very important. So if we write a bot, we will want to make it available to any language. And you've heard about Skype Translator and other services. That is something that a lot of companies are investing a lot. We even have Portuguese startups that work a lot on translation and multiple languages. The fact that we have natural language, the fact that we can speak to the bot instead of writing with speech to text to speech and speech to text. So those services are today available, but you don't need to write it from scratch on your bot. It's something that some services that you can reuse. And then here on the right side, you would think, okay, I have my bot, I have my logic done. Now I want users to use it, but I don't want to have only a web page where people can go and write. People are using WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, all those EM channels. So basically what we did is we allow you to write the logic of the bot once and then make it available for all these channels. These are the available channels today. I'm pretty sure this will grow in time. But you already have things like Slack and Twilio and Skype and Facebook Messenger that you can now use, and I will show you how to do it. So main key aspect here is you write your logic, you bring all the information from your business, from your APIs, from public APIs, and you can actually take advantage of other cloud services, but you only do it once, and then you publish on all those channels, okay? And yeah, go ahead.
So where does Cortana and the skills for Cortana fit in this
picture? So I would say it will be big part. So you could add here some skills, and we are, the industry itself is reacting a lot with Alexa and the one from with the Echo from Amazon. Cortana, it has been our bot assistant. There's a slightly change on the definition. So a bot assistant, I would say, it's more like something that we can reach to and that will help us in several ways, okay? For example, one thing that has been discussed a lot is having a bot assistant to redirect you to a specific bot that will execute a specific action, okay? And that way, it would make sense to have an assistant where you could reach, you could talk to, and then bring it to a specific bot. But yes, some of the services that will be that are now available on Cortana Skills will actually be reused here as well. So this is just an intro on the bots, okay? We'll dive into DevOps because this is the main goal here. Ah, one thing, because Elton is here, so this is an app. Bots are apps, so they can be on containers, okay? And we'll learn a lot about that. Yeah, shoot.
Is there a strategy of what's
So the question was, can I answer in English? The question was, how does this strategy, what's the impact on the all applicational strategy that we need see today on mobile, okay? I think it may, that's the question. We don't know how it will go in the next 5 years, okay? But I see online services that actually most companies are becoming computer science, or at least they have development areas, because they all publish services online, mostly due to the reach that they have worldwide. So nowadays, they usually use the mobile channels, they build apps to reach the users on their services, okay? So having these bots, we must see it almost as a UI that you can reach. And if you can do it easily, there are pretty much a lot of use cases that can replace the app, okay? So in that sense, I would say, yes, it may have impact on the app market, okay? But there are also other use cases where you will want to maintain on apps, I'm pretty sure. But let's look at what's happening today. If you look at the 5 top apps used worldwide, they are instant messaging, okay? And that's a big thing. And if you think of younger people, I don't know how they do it, because they are in classes, they are working, they are riding a bike and still messaging all the time. So if they are so used to it, I think the world will also shift, because in 10 years, we'll be older 10 years, okay? So those guys will reach the professional world, and I'm pretty sure things will change, as they have changed with our generation, okay? I'm pretty sure our parents don't use a mobile like we do, okay? It's part of how we move forward, I think. But yes, but I don't know how much impact it will have on the app market. Okay? If you answered it? Yeah, actually, when we announced the bot framework and the conversation as a platform, it was actually 15 days after Facebook. Facebook, they have also a bot framework. So these big companies, I think they saw this a little bit coming. So they want to be prepared. And I think because it's something that we won't be able to avoid it. But I see in the next years something in between both worlds, okay? And in the future, I don't risk it to say it's all apps will disappear. I don't think so. But we'll have at least a mixed world for a long time. Yeah, exactly, and I agree with that. In the next years, I'm pretty sure you'll have both the apps and the bots, and bots will drive users to the app, as the app will drive users to the bot. So there's a specific use case, for example, on having a bot inside the app. Okay. There is. So there are a lot of people, because nowadays people are using iPhone and other devices, and for executing some use cases inside the service, it may be easier. So they can build inside the app. So yeah, but it will be a mix environment in the following years. Okay, so basically, what do we offer? So it's an SDK. Okay, you have both on Node.js and C#. You have a dialogue model, so you can build, and that's where the logic goes. You build dialogues that can have artificial intelligence, you can have natural language, but these dialogues are all stackable, and you can come back and go forward whenever you want. And that's what the bot connector will do. So they will maintain state per user, per session, and per user session. So that's the big part that we would need to develop, for sure. And then There are a lot of things that you can do on the bot. So besides writing and expecting an answer, you can use the cards. The cards are the way you show, like you saw in the picture with hotels. You can display information. Most of that information, if you want to go deeper, because you cannot have a lot of information on the bot, you can redirect to your website, okay? Or even for a mobile app. And eventually, remember, there are a lot of scenarios where authentication is critical, okay? Most of the apps require authentication. Some websites require authentication. And the scenario that we are now getting used to, mostly after OAuth boom, nowadays we are very used to go to a specific web page, log in with Facebook, authorize what to do with that website on Facebook. And that scenario, people are already used to it. It will be something similar, okay? So we will authenticate using OAuth and using identity providers that are trusted, that we know, for us to carry on with an authenticated user inside the bot session. Because remember, use cases go across everything from health. There's a big, imagine all the hospitals or even small clinics. They have to manage schedule, they have to manage feedback from the patients, they have to always someone questioning when is my next appointment and things like that. But you have to be authenticated, okay? And besides that, you have from selling, retail, a lot of scenarios that may be a very useful approach. And again, remember, the youngsters will like this approach much more. So, coming back, so we have the SDK, so we can use and build our dialogues. We can have prompts, we can ask yes or no, always try to think. It's very important to think carefully of the dialogue structure, okay? Because we don't want someone to start typing a lot of time in the bot, because users will drop for sure, okay? They will not write a lot. So that's a very important aspect. Okay, so let's start diving into DevOps. That's the big part, okay? I like to post this sentence from Donovan Brown. So Donovan Brown runs the DevOps motion for Microsoft. He's actually a product manager for Visual Studio Team Services that I will show you here today. And basically, Donovan, he took 1 month to write this sentence, okay? 1 month. He said, I was thinking and thinking and thinking the correct words, okay? And if you see it, this is a very important part of the DevOps engagements that we have. I see a lot of customers that don't want to change a little bit of their culture. And they want to jump immediately to the tool chain to make their code go faster to production. It's not that simple. There are changes that we need to understand actually how the company runs, how the processes are, how the devs talk with the operations. And if you see it, this sentence describes it very well. So it's the union of people, because minds will have to change, okay? The mindset has to change sometimes. The processes, what runs, how the things, how do I call the guys in ops, in operations, just to put in production? What happens carefully? So the process may have to change. Then the products, okay? The products to enable continuous delivery of value. So it's not products. We are not shipping products. We are trying to ship value to the world. And that is very important, because value, I'm not interested in putting the next version of my product into the street if it's not worth for the end users. If it's not worth for the end users, what difference does it make? And being aware of what is important to the end users, what they want to see, what works best for my business, it's very important. So it's not shipping software. It's trying to understand and create a process where we can measure value, okay? And that brought a huge and important part to DevOps, and I'm very happy about it, that it has to do with continuous learning. For us to understand the product, how the users use our product, and tweak it to make it better, okay? Sometimes I have the perfect example at Microsoft. For years and years, when we shipped every version of Windows or Office, there was a party in Redmond. So we would ship, we have the GA, general availability date, or the RTM date, and we would reach that date, and we would have a huge party in the campus. Why? We don't even know if the product will be successful, okay? That was completely removed, okay? Now we celebrate when the things work, okay? And the things to work, we need to understand how users use it. That's why you saw, and you probably are aware, we are pressing a lot of time in all everything that is related to getting feedback out of the users. That's very important. That actually combines very well with the open source community, okay? So let me ship, I have to hurry up. So, continuous integration, I will jump in a few topics because I want to show it, it's better. Apps, bots are apps, okay? So that's why I told you, you can even use Docker to make it as a container. But all the best practices for DevOps, you can apply to bots, okay? So you can build a continuous integration, and now when customers start taking seriously the need to start building a bot, they say, okay, but I have a DevOps cycle, how can I mix things? So there are a lot of things that we can take from all the learnings that we took all over these years. So here, I will show you here how to build a continuous integration. I will show you also how to test a bot. So imagine, when we are starting to talk about testing, of course we have the unit testing that we can do from our code in our continuous integration. We can test it for every build. But now it's not that we have an interface like a web that we can test. We can have multiple channels. Happily, when you saw those channels, like Facebook and everything, there is a specific one that is called Direct Line. And usually we use those approaches to be able to test it. And I will show you how we did it. There are a lot of parts that must be mocked. If you are using external APIs, if you are running your existing on-prem services from your company, you will probably use the same practices of mocking those APIs so you can have a good testing practice along the way. Then you have functional and even load testing, okay? Because this is an app, okay? So there will be an impact with load, and you have to test it, and you may require to rethink your architecture in order to be able to comply with a lot of users. So those approaches are very similar. On the continuous deployment, so when I showed you on that diagram, we have the bot and the code, the most important part is a web API. So it's a REST API. So what happens here is that all the best practices that we have for REST APIs, or we can reuse them, okay? That's very interesting, both for testing, for continuous integration, and deployment as well, okay? And I will show it here more briefly. And telemetry, for example, like I was telling you a few moments ago, all the part of continuous learning is very important. Typically, on any DevOps cycle, you rely on SaaS services, okay? So they are companies that offer services. All the UI that you can use, the only thing that you have to do is include in your app a way to send messaging to send information about the behavior of the bot of or your app. So this has been a practice. There are still a lot of open source technology that you can use on-prem as well, but at least for mobile, and bots will be the same, I presume, we'll rely a lot on these SaaS solutions. I showed you App Insight, it's Microsoft one, but you can use New Relic, there are tons of App Dynamics, a lot of them that offer those kind of services. It's important because you get the dashboards free, okay? Because some 10 years ago, any enterprise customer would ask you, okay, I want to see what's happening with my infrastructure. Okay, no problem, I can bring telemetry to you, but then I will have to build all the UI and all the layouts, and that was an investment that some companies were not ready to do. So, let's try to do the demo. That's the big part, so and I don't have as much time. So let me explain you what I did here, okay? Let me stop this. Yes. Okay, so what do I have here? Everyone has heard of Team Services, Visual Studio Team Services? Raise your hand if so. Okay, so one important part is that Team Services, I see it as an orchestrator of a DevOps cycle. Even though you can reuse, do the continuous integration, plan your work, do the deployment, you can do it everything on Visual Studio Team Services. But if you are addicted to Jenkins, if you love Octopus Deploy, if you love other technologies, you can still reuse it. So you can have Visual Studio Team Services just to orchestrate all these actions of deployment, continuous the build, the deploy, that are done specifically by Jenkins or other tool. That's a practice. So that's where the open source here comes around, because it's actually open. Okay, you can integrate with most of the tools, and we have a marketplace for extensions on Visual Studio Code. It has been crazy. The last year, we have tons and tons of new extensions that you can reuse very easily. So, coming back to the demo. So, I have here the Visual Studio Code, cross-platform. This is a bot that I built. Everyone knows Zomato. Do you have Zomato? No? You should take a look at it. I think they are in multiple cities. Not sure if they are in UK, but so in Portugal, please raise your hands if you have heard of Zomato. Do you use it? Yeah. Okay, so I love it. It's very quick to you to go and look for restaurants, and it's community driven. So we have feedback from people that have been there, and it even very quickly gives you directions to the. It's like something like Yelp on US. It's very similar. So Zomato has an API, okay? Actually, it's not public yet. I used it from outsource, from GitHub. So there are guys that already built it, so I reused it. So basically here, let me go through the structure so you can see it. Let me put here, zoom it if I need to zoom. Okay. So here, I'll go through this. This is for tests. Here is where I have my dialogues built. Okay, and I will show you very quickly. Then, node models, you all know it. It's a Node.js, so everything that I reference is here. Then I have my testing here also, and some util, that's actually where the Zomato code is. And I only have something to start my app, and this is actually the bot where I orchestrate all the dialogues, okay? So, oh, and one important part here. I built this very quickly and deployed it on Azure. So these two files here, they are ARM templates and the parameters. So very quickly, and I will show you here, I can deploy. I've built, I know they have a web API, I also have application insights. So here, I basically specify the architecture, okay? And I can deploy whenever I want. If I want one day just to remove it, I remove it, and then I restart everything, and I deploy it. It's part of my continuous integration and deployment. So here, basically, they describe all the services that I have. You can see here, for example, the FreeS service plan that is related to the website, the application insights, and the web app is probably here. Yeah, it's here. So it's a web tier, okay? Normal one, nothing to do. Here I'm deploying with Node.js, so I've built this, and basically I have here my bot. So let's jump into it. Here I can even have a README, Markdown, same as you probably know from GitHub. But let's, besides all the work that I planned, I'm not working alone in this project. I have all my friends, and we have all the tasks shared among us. And then here I have the code. So this is exactly the same. This is a Git repo. So everything that you saw on Visual Studio Code comes directly from here. And I can push changes and do everything directly from Visual Studio Code. But let's jump into the most important part, okay? So here I have built, let's start by the build. I have here my Zomato bot CI. Basically, and let's go by the definition, just to show you how simple it is to do this. So remember, what should I do here? Being a Node.js app, I will have to do the NPM install, okay? I'll want to run my tests, okay? I will want to archive files, basically to create my package to be deployable. Because I ran tests, I want to know the results. That's very simple. Also, I've implemented here, and I explored a little bit of measuring the code coverage. So to understand how much of my code is being covered by tests. Okay, that's a very good practice, and I will show you how to do it. And then I basically publish the artifacts. Okay, so here it's basically for the outcome of the build, creates the zip file. It's a zip file, so how you see it on the archive. And basically, I push it into the platform so they know that there is a new build. Okay, here I have continuous integration, which is very hard to configure. Yeah, it's just this, okay? Very hard. I just say it, okay, I want this enabled, so every time I see a change in my Git repo, he will start a build, okay? That's it. I just have to specify the branch, because if things get started to be mature and complicated, I will have several branches, and maybe I want to just start specific builds on a specific master or a specific branch, let's say. So it's quite simple, okay? So here, that was the build test. There's only one detail I want to start. So I implemented, and there's a easy way to do it on C Sharp, because the other SDK is on C Sharp. We have the test framework from C Sharp, and you can basically build a DLL where you can, that's a test DLL, and you basically here reference all the DLLs that should be run for test purposes. Here, I built it inside NPM. So what does that mean exactly? So here, if I go to my JSON, this file actually determines to NPM the structure of my project and also my dependencies. So when I do NPM install, he basically goes to this list and gets every package just ready to run, okay? So here, and this is a most important part for testing, I'm using Istanbul. Istanbul is for the coverage, the test coverage part. Here inside, what is actually using is JUnit and Mocha. Okay, those, like any web developer used to JavaScript, there's always tons of frameworks to use for any kind of things that you want to do. So, but those worked pretty well, very simple to do. Actually, on my machine, I can come here and type npm test. So everything that, if you start to notice, everything that I do it here, I do here, cut off, okay. We can do it, actually, the same thing in Visual Studio Team Services. You remember I had that task of npm start. So here I just run the tests, and he even shows me the coverage summary. And actually, this output is the same that you see here, okay? So I didn't do any change. If I go to, for example, the last build I did, I get all these informations. So test results, test coverage. I have 4 tests running here, and he showed me also the test coverage. Not that bad for a start, but it's okay. So on the releases part, let's jump into it. It's the same approach. So back in the days on TFS and still on Visual Studio, it was called Visual Studio Online some time ago, we had XAML build definitions. They were awful, okay? So this is the build vnext and release vnext pipeline where we build. And if you, if I come here and edit, you'll see it's very similar to what we saw on the build part, on the continuous integration. Here, what am I doing? I'm basically deploying based on that ARM template, those JSON files I showed you describing the architecture, it will deploy it on my Azure account. And then I will deploy the app. So grab that archive and we'll push it to the Azure. And here I even have a release notation. So basically my application insights will inform me when there was a new publication, a new deployment. So, but all this, and I want to show you the before I go. So if I do a npm start, this will run my bot locally. How do you test it? For at least for development purposes, besides using those Mocha and JUnit, you can test your bot in development time and even debug on this using this emulator. So this emulator, I'm just checking here, and I can type hello, for example. So and in this specific bot, I have 3 dialogues built in. So I can search for restaurants that are nearby, by type, also nearby, and by name. And for example, because next we'll go to lunch, I think. He's asking, you can see it, okay? It's too small or okay? You can read it? So he asked me, okay, very well. He's using a simulation location because I'm here, I'm using the debug version, let's say I'm running on NPM. So he's asking me what's the place called. And there's a restaurant just near here, our office. You can go there, the food is great. I didn't get money for this, but it's called Ali Salsa. So just to realize, I just wrote a very quick word, and he said, okay, I'm looking for the name Ali Salsa nearby, okay? And he actually showed me this registered restaurant in Zomato. Okay, this one is not that compelling because it doesn't even have a picture. I have to talk with the owner. But here you can see, you can go have directions. That is something that we built out of the information that we grab from the restaurant through the API. And here then, let me show you one more exciting, if I go, for example, the best nearby, I see from the location is actually emulating this particular location, and it says that I have here these restaurants that I can try. Now, one question that I get a lot, Did I have to render the UI for this to happen? No, okay? Basically what I have, even those numbers, that it's not that interesting to have users to type option one, option two, option, it's not that compelling. But actually, I didn't do that. The API, for the API, it's a prompt. So if I use, let me go here for Messenger. So I have this bot published for Skype and for Facebook, okay? So this one is not going against my local bot running, okay? I have the bot published, and I can show you. So you have, after you develop, you have this website. You actually log in into it, and you actually manage your bots here. So creating something here, it's very simple. I even steal the logo from Zomato, so this is recorded. I shouldn't be saying this. But typing the information, creating a new bot here is very simple. The most important part, of course, is specifying the website, okay? And for example, here you can see it is pointing to Zomato bot Azure websites.net. That's actually, when I publish from here, that's where he's going. So the app service name is Zomato bot. That means that we'll publish on a website on my Azure subscription with the name Zomato bot, okay? And I can even show you here. So here I have the resource group. You can see it here on the right side. And I have here the Zomato bot. And that's actually the service. It's a web app service. And this gave me the URL that I used to register the bot, okay? So you have it here. It's this one. Okay, so coming back, I was opening Messenger. So I registered, and I'll show you how to do it. Just to show you one quick example here. If I try hello, this. He said he couldn't get the location. So did you saw the numbers that you were seeing here? One, best nearby. Two, nearby by type. This was completely rendered as buttons on Messenger. You don't need to do this. It's part of the SDK. And when we published to each channel, we actually took over the rendering, and we create the information necessary for have the best experience on each bot. And this will happen for Skype and for any other channel that you may have. Okay, one last thing that I want to show you. So here on the dev, on the dashboard, between publishing, you can see here the channels that we can make it public. And for example, when you start, we have Skype out of the box and web chat, okay? I added Facebook. Facebook, they require to you create a Facebook page, create an API, so you have the API key. It requires a little bit more work, but it's like, okay, a little bit more work, but 10 minutes more. Nothing to worry about. Unless you go to publish. If you want to publish, there will be a review process, very similar to the app approach, where we have stores do approvals, because what changes when we publish the bots is that they go to the bot directory. The bot directory is something where you can go and search for bots, okay? This one is the ones based on bot framework from Microsoft. Facebook has their own, and that's the part that I see changing in the future. There are websites that will probably be very interested in organizing bots by some specific interest, independently if they are built from Microsoft or Facebook. And that's where we will start to see things being more end-user friendly, I would say. Okay, so back to the codes. Any questions so far? All good? They are probably coming just in a few months to get me out of the room. But no problem. So the API, I use the API. So this part, for example, is the one that I'm using that was done and is available on GitHub. I just implemented a few methods to organize the information, to get the information that I wanted to do, get recommendations based on location, radios, on the location, the category, and the type. You can see matching with the dialogue scenarios that I showed you. Then here, let me show you the dialogues. So what do you see here? I have a root one that's basically, that's the main one. That's where I greet the users, say hello, and that's the first answer that I will put to the users. And for example, I prompt them for the scenario that they want, and next I basically pile up the dialogues. So I use the best nearby, find by type, and find by name that you probably will re-understand. And basically those are the ones that, based on the information that I collect, let me take this out so you can see it better. So very short, the code. I will make this available if you want to give it a look. And basically, I'm questioning here, getting the information so I can then ask the Zomato API for the specific recommendations based on the information that the user provided me. Okay, so one important part. So this folder, the coverage, this is built when I use Istanbul. So don't worry about it. It's actually done automatically. It will basically create the structure of the reporting that I want to ship when I do that test publication, okay? The output is built by Istanbul, and it's published on that specific task. And believe it or not, it's called cobertura. I think it's done by Brazilians, okay? And if I come here on that specific task, you will see that it's available out of the box. So it's something that I just choose. Okay, it's supported automatically. Okay, so here I'm using JUnic, and for the coverage and the reports, I'm using this specific tool. You can use others, and if you want even a different one from here, you can go to the marketplace, okay? And getting things off the marketplace, installing on Teams services, it takes approximately 30 seconds, okay? Just go to the marketplace, say it, okay, I want in this specific subscription, and then refresh it, and go back to the work, and you'll have more options available and reuse that specific extension. So I think that's one of the open source philosophy that we are thinking in, and you see it on new products as well. Okay, any question? Do you want to see it run? For example, I can go, if I go here, I can queue. If I did a change on the code, it would start immediately, but there's a quicker way. I can go here and queue a new one. So, and this is actually something I always want to show, because he's asking me what branch do I want to take the information from. I will build, and actually it takes me to a build page where everything will be done. But remember, they are using a hosted agent. This means that the build is thinking, it's happening on Azure. Okay, they have a whole set of agents ready to work. Every time you queue a build, they will grab it, they will grab the sources and do all the job according to all the tasks that you predefined.
While that's building, I got a question. Who takes care of the integration between your Microsoft bots and the other applications like Slack and Facebook? Do you provide some kind of SDK?
No, you don't need to do it. So
someone on Facebook?
Yeah, there was a common work, Okay. Even, for example, if I show you here, not the register, but my bot, if I come here and show you, for example, I can show you the Facebook one. Okay. So if I come here to edit, this is the first step that you do. And although this is on the bot framework domain, so this is something from the bot framework, okay? But actually, all these things, this is basically a guidance on how to make it available on Facebook. And you'll see here that you should go to Facebook and create a Facebook page. You should go to Facebook and create a Facebook app. Get the API key, exactly. So you have all the guidance. This was done, of course, following all the rules that Facebook imposes for us to do. So what we are doing is trying to work with all those channels. That's why I told you probably there will be a lot more in the future, and that's what the work that we are doing. So you can actually develop once and make it available on all channels. Okay, I think I have to finish, or else they will kick me. Thank you very much. There are stickers. The guys that make questions, please do come here. Want to chat with you, and I have some stickers, but the rest are also welcome to come here. So no problem. Thank you very much.